Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's great to welcome you all here. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. It's great to welcome you all here today. It's great to welcome you on the first Sunday of December, which means, of course, that Christmas is on its way, and all the excitement that goes with that. Next week, we'll be having the children's play. You're very well welcome to come along to watch the children to do their 12 days of Christmas next week. We'll be in the theatre, in the same building, but be in the theatre at the back there. And also the following week we have the carol service. So the choir, I know, is practicing very hard, and the children are practicing as well to be part of that. So that'll be something to be part of as well. So you're welcome to all those things. But we opened our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer before we begin with the class today. Father, we're so grateful that we are your children, that we are blessed to be part of your family. Father, you endow us with amazing blessings, the blessings that we can think of today, just of being able to help the poor, being able to have such a massive impact because of the little things that we do as we sit in this room today have a massive impact around the world to help the poor and needy. We think of the way that we can help our children, the vision we can have for our own children and teens ministry in the future. Father, thank you for that. And I pray that today we can really understand the life that you want for us, God, the faith that you want us to have and the joy that can come from that faith, Father. We thank you that we're together, and we pray that our hearts are intent on learning from you today, Father. We pray that we can learn insights from your word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you just on your seat, you'll find one of our Christmas invitations, which have all the events for Christmas on there and the directions and stuff. And there's lots and lots of invitations there. I found a half-price deal. They did me a massive deal if I ordered 1,000. A really, really amazing deal. So we have 1,000. Now, we probably don't need 1,000, but it was cheaper that way, which is good. So if you feel encouraged enough by the end of this class to go out and give 200, 300, 400 of these invitations out one day this week, they're all here. So please feel free to do so. I want to talk today about what we're talking about on the front of our invitation, leaping for joy. Because I want us to think about what it means to be joyful in the month of December. James is laughing at the invitation, I think. I'm not sure. James, will you show us a leap?
Maybe one day.
James is working towards leaping. Leaping for joy. You know, I don't know if you're looking forward to Christmas. I know I am. I love Christmas. I love hanging out with the family, and I love all that sort of stuff. You know, you have plans, you have presents, you have a Christmas tree, and many of us will go and see our original families as well, and that's an excitement. You're looking forward to seeing them. But how do you feel when January comes? You see, because when I go and see my family, we have these great plans. Yeah, we're going to hang out, we're going to eat, we're going to do this, but after maybe day two, or maybe day three, I sort of remember why I left my original family in the first place. You know, you sort of begin to get on each other's nerves a little bit after a few days, and that joy of Christmas begins to fade a little bit. And then maybe you've received a gift, and you find your child, your two-year-old child who's been given a great gift, playing with the cardboard box that the gift came in. And you begin to realize, you know what? The joy of Christmas is not really a joy that you can really get your hands on, can really enjoy all year round. It's not something that's really going to promote an amazing gladness in your heart. And so I want us to understand today where joy really comes from. And that a joy that will last forever is not a joy that focuses on just the 25th of December, but focuses on the right things and lasts for every single day of your life. Every day of December and every day of January as well, amen. In Matthew chapter 13, we see the principle that I want to talk about a little bit today. We'll be taking communion after the sermon. We have an amazing song prepared for us to help us to meditate on what we're learning and what we want to reflect upon as we take communion, and then we'll be having a great time of fellowship. But in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, the Bible reads, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and brought that field." There's a description here of God's kingdom that Jesus gives us, that the kingdom gives us such a joy. Such an amazing joy. Not just a 25th December joy or even a birthday or an Easter joy, but a joy forever. Such a joy that you will go away and it will, everything else in your life will fade in comparison to the joy that you'll receive when you find God's kingdom. There is a joy available to all of us of that magnitude.
Come on, then.
You know, I was both challenged and inspired by Nicola recently. And I know there'll be other people doing this as well, but she recently the care van went out, the Bethany care van that we help out with, and she was inspired. She wanted to be part of that care van. Then she said to me, I want to go out and do the care van, but I want to do it on Christmas Eve. And I thought, you want to go on Christmas Eve in the care van to give food and clothing to those that are sleeping rough, that will be sleeping rough through Christmas. And I've got to be honest with you, I was both excited, but also very challenged. Because I like Christmas Eve. I don't know what you do on Christmas Eve, but we sort of get excited about Christmas Day. And we sit and look at all the presents under the tree and the lights are twinkling and maybe we'll have an eggnog or two. And then maybe we'll, I don't know, watch a carol service or, you know, and it's a family affair. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? Nicola's not going to be here this Christmas Eve because she's going to be in the Bethany care van giving out necessary things for the poor and needy. And I'm like, hang on a minute. I've really got to get my head around this. And then I thought about it. I thought about, you know what, on Christmas Day, when we wake up and we have presents and the joy of the presents begins to fade, and when we've eaten our big Christmas meal and we all sit down after Christmas dinner and we're all feeling a bit full and bloated, and then we don't feel quite so good at that point that I've eaten too much, too many sprouts or whatever it is. It's at that point I will really reflect on what Nicola did on Christmas Eve, because I reflect, you know what, I feel really fired up now. Because we spent some time, this family has spent some time about God's will over this Christmas period instead of totally focusing on our own will. And it's a joy that I think you cannot get from any present, you cannot get from any Christmas dinner, you cannot get from any twinkly lights, you can only get from focusing on God's kingdom. And so I was challenged that this time something would be different. It would take great faith. It will be a sacrifice for us as a family. It's not what we normally do, but there will be a belief. There is a belief that God will be glorified by what she does, and that a joy will come to the family as a result of her doing it. And that's what I want you to consider this Christmas, this December. A faithful act. You know, sometimes faithful acts are countercultural. Spending Christmas Eve in a care van, going around the city in the cold, giving out to help the homeless is countercultural. Sometimes the things you do, people will look at you when you do a faithful act and think, what are you doing? That's mad. But it's not people that we're pleasing. It's God that we're pleasing. And it's God who gives us the joy that come from those faithful acts. So I want to just try and inspire you a little bit to some faithful acts over this coming December. Some things to think about between now and December so you can have a real solid, everlasting joy. A joy that will not fade on Boxing Day or on New Year's Day, but a joy that will last forever. First of all, open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 28. You'll notice we are technically light today. There's very little technical stuff going on. It's great to get to the Bible and just focus on what God says and sometimes just really get down to the simplicity of God's message. In Psalm 28, verse 7. I want to talk, first of all, a joy that comes from a relationship with God. Maybe this is the month. Maybe this is the time when you say to yourself, that's it. I'm fed up with putting up with a shallow relationship with my God. This is the month. This is the time where I am faithfully going to sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice my time. And this is the month where I'm going to faithfully give my time over to praying to God a lot. Like, a lot more than you currently do. In Psalm 28, verse 7, the psalmist can write, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. A relationship with God brings joy. A greater and deeper relationship with God brings greater and deeper joy. A joy that will last forever. You know, in amongst the genealogy of Genesis chapter 5, you'll find the genealogy running from Adam to Noah. And you'll find in there a guy called Enoch. And Enoch was the father of, just before the end there, when we get to Noah. But it says something very interesting about Enoch. In verse 24 of Genesis 5, there's no need to turn there. It says that Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. I thought, wow, what an unbelievable relationship with God. He was transported to be with God immediately. I don't know who of you saw Star Trek on the telly last night. There was quite a lot of transporting going on. But when you have a deep and close relationship with God, you're transported to be with God. And I don't know what troubles you have in life, but your troubles just disappear when you're close to God. And you receive a joy. Maybe this is the month. Maybe this is the month where you spend extra time in prayer and receive an amazing joy. He was transported. And a close relationship with God is a transporting relationship with God. You know, we all pray. But I'm calling us to give more time of our month of December to prayer. We need God at this time. You know, F.B. Meyer wrote that the greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. How many things don't we pray about when really God's just waiting? God's just waiting for you to get on your knees just to devote some time to building that relationship with your Father. Oswald Chambers also wrote, prayer does not fit us for greater work. Prayer is the greater work. And so often we can rely upon ourselves. We know what we can do, but we so often therefore settle for a substandard faith. Whereas a faith relying totally on God is a faith where you see miracles and you receive amazing joy and contentment. Let me encourage you to spend this month in faithful prayer. Ask others around the church here what it is you can pray for them about. I reckon there's a lot of things that people will come up with, will take up your time for you to pray for them about. Lots and lots of needs. Find out who it is that's studying the Bible right now, working to become a Christian, asking how you can pray for those situations and help God be involved more intricately in those situations. Maybe it's time to support people in prayer and goal. And Simon's holding up his project, which is the prayer request book. You know, if you've decided that this month is the month where you're going to faithfully receive God's joy because you're going to spend more time in prayer, just photocopy Simon's prayer request book, and that will keep you busy as well. It's a prayer request book that everybody in the church contributes a prayer request every single week, so the disciples then spend that week in their prayer times praying for those issues. That will take up your time as well. So a joy that can come only from a relationship with God. Secondly, I want to talk about a joy of trust. Maybe this is the month where you just let loose and say, right, that's it. I'm going to stop worrying about the wrong things. That's an interesting thing to say. Stop worrying about the wrong things. I want to just give you a little bit of an amazing insight that I received this week. I got some great time with Andy Fleming, and we talked a lot about this stuff. But first of all, turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 13. A joy that comes from trust in God. In verse 13 of Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a joy that comes when you trust in God. You and I, we've got lots of things to worry about, haven't we? Lots of things to worry about. I'm going to pose this question. Are they really worth worrying about? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and I'll just paraphrase some of the things that Jesus says. Well, we talk here about the Sermon on the Mount. It's an amazing thing to look at the Sermon on the Mount and look at the structure of it, and look at the way Matthew related that story, related those teachings of Jesus. And when we look at it in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 19, we read that we're told not to store up. Well, what's Jesus saying? Don't store up anything? He's saying, no, I know that you have a need
for security, but you're putting your security in the wrong things. Do not store up treasure on earth, but store up. He says you will have a need to store up stuff, but make sure it's the right thing. Store up treasures in heaven. He goes on, and he says in chapter 7, we'll come back to chapter 6, in the first of chapter 7, he says, do not judge. And we think, well, that's pious, that's amazing, it'd be great not to judge, but all of you, you're judging right now. None of us can help judging. You're all forming a judgment on one thing or another, probably me right now, forming judgments all the time. And don't worry, I'm forming judgments about you as well, because that's my human nature too. Okay? But that's just the way we are. We form judgments. Jesus is saying, he's saying you have a human need to form judgments, but you must judge only when you've looked first at yourself. He's saying judge, yes, but make sure you're not a hypocrite when you do judge. In fact, he says later on in chapter 7, verse 5, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. There's a presumption there that you will want to remove the speck from your brother's eye, but first remove the plank from your own. But I want to come just to the concept of not worrying. Jesus says, do not worry. And we all just feel overwhelmed, don't we? What do you mean, don't worry? I just worry all the time. Because Jesus knows it's a human need for you to worry. He knows that you are going to worry. And so what does he do when he says do not worry? He gives you the antidote. He gives you the positive direction about what it is you should really worry about. When you get to verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6, he says, but seek first his kingdom. All the things that we worry about will be given to us if this is the thing that we are concerned about. Paul said that he is under pressure daily because of his concern for the ministry. If you're going to be concerned about anything, be concerned about the ministry. You and I have many things to worry about. It's in our nature to do so. So Jesus is not saying do not worry. He's saying you're going to worry. That's just who you are. But make sure you worry about the right things. Be concerned about the ministry. My prayer is that some of us will take up this challenge in this month of December and stop worrying. Stop worrying about whether that present is going to be good enough for whoever. Stop worrying about whether your tree lights are going to work or not, or whether the bulbs have popped again. Because they always do. Don't worry about all these things, about the snow that's going to come. Or just don't stop worrying about these things. Start worrying about people's souls that are going to burn in hell unless they become disciples of Jesus. That's worth worrying about, isn't it? One thing I'd like you to start praying about, I'd just really like to start thinking about and meditating on and praying about, is that we are, as a church, we are faithfully working towards re-employing Nicola as the women's ministry leader in the Church of Edinburgh. This is a faithful goal. This is a faithful goal, because we don't even know right now exactly where the money's going to come from. That's faith. We are praying. Nicola went to her boss and said, I want to go back into ministry. And he said, well, how's that going to work? And he gave her a proposal. He said, she gave him a proposal. I can save you money if we do it this way. And then I can have a day when I don't work for you. Just work 4 days a week for you, one day a week for the church. I can save you money. He said, no problem. When do you want to start? So we're working faithfully towards January the 1st being the beginning of that goal. We're hoping to pass Nicola a contract that means she will start one day a week from January the 1st. Please be praying about that, because that's just the beginning, okay? We want to move that up to 2 days a week, 3 days a week. Who knows what the future holds? But as Goldie is so clearly, and Leslie and Joshua have so clearly said, we have great needs. We have needs that we will have to meet. By this time next year, we will have 4 teenagers in the Edinburgh church. We're going to have greater and greater needs. We're going to have more and more opportunities, more and more possibilities. We need to build. But building requires faith. Do you feel like your December can be a month where you're not going to worry about the wrong things? We're just going to let God. Let God take care of everything. All I'm going to worry about is the ministry. All I'm going to worry about is forwarding God's kingdom. Thirdly, turn with me to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, a few chapters later. Romans 16, verse 19. Paul is talking to the Roman church, and he says in verse 19 that everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. You know, I want to share with you just some of my sin right now. I want to share with you an area that I desperately need to be obedient in. And that area is frustration and anger. And I know people say that when you get to mid-40s, late-40s, it's just that's what happens. Well, not in my Bible, it doesn't. Not in my Bible, it doesn't. In Philippians chapter 2. You see, the area where I really struggle with obedience in the area of temper, the area of feeling angry, is when I'm driving my car. So I can get in my car, and I like driving. And I can get excited about, I'm going to drive to so-and-so, I'm going to be there. It's great, I love it. But then I get in the car, and very, very quickly, I find myself behind someone who's not going as fast as I think they should. Or is not as dynamic a driver as I think they should be. Not turning right, not getting out of my way when they ought to be. They're dithering, and I begin to get angry in my heart. They're not going as fast as they should, and then we get round the corner, and there's a traffic jam. So the other night, I was driving to study the Bible with Carsten and Ross over at Ross's house. Ross would like me to get there early so we can spend some extra time. I want to. So we're in the car, I'm in the car, and I'm thinking, I've got loads of time. But then, of course, the Christmas lights were being switched on in the city on Thursday night, so every single road going into Edinburgh was jam-packed. I said, don't they realise? I've got to get time with Ross tonight. I'm studying the Bible with Carsten now. What's with all these Christmas lights? And I get really frustrated and angry. And I need to repent. And so this month, I really want to repent of that. And I want you to pray for me. And maybe it's something you could relate to as well in this area of obedience. Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. You see, I lose perspective that I'm sitting in this amazing metal box that's self-propelled, that can transport me all across the world, thousands of miles. All I've got to do is keep filling it with the right fuel. If you put petrol in a diesel, by the way, it doesn't work. I lose perspective that I live in this amazing world of technology. As soon as I get in a queue, I forget it. As soon as I get behind someone who's too slow, I forget it. I begin to get very angry, and I begin to drive harshly. I begin to drive harshly. I begin to try and overtake people just where it's just not possible to overtake. But I'm not doing it because I'm being sensible. I'm doing it because I'm angry. And I need to repent. And this is the month that I really want to work on that. And I want you to pray for me. But I want you to think too about your area of obedience. Your area of obedience. I'm calling you to join me in either this area of weakness or another area of weakness that you have in your life. You know, there was a minister in the States who got up in his church and he started preaching, and he gave this challenge about not grumbling and not complaining. And he gave everybody a wristband. So here we are, I'm giving you some imaginary wristbands, okay? Now you choose whichever wrist you're going to put it on, okay? You put it on whichever wrist you want, right? Just imagine that. You're putting it on your right wrist, okay? The second you start complaining, you have to take that wristband off your right wrist and put it on your left wrist. And you have to try and keep that wristband on the same wrist for a consecutive week. Just 1 week where the wristband doesn't swap hands, because that's when you grumbled. It's an interesting challenge, because we allow ourselves to get frustrated. But we're commanded not to complain or argue. But there may be other areas. There may be areas, things like lust, where we allow ourselves to lust. But we know, the Bible says, we shouldn't be doing that. Is this your month to act faithfully? Stop relying on your worldly wisdom, which says it's okay to lust now and again. It's okay to argue now and again. And start relying on God, who says, you know what, I know what's best for you. And the joy that you can receive, you're not receiving because you're allowing this impurity into your lives. So I want you to think about what it means for you to spend this month working on an area of your life where you are constantly disobedient to God. Let's not be naive, okay? Let's not be naive about our lives. We tend to disobedience. Let's work on the area that causes the most damage, causes the most harm. And let's think about our imaginary wristbands and think about not changing them from wrist to wrist. You know, between now and Christmas Day, let's try and go 7 consecutive days where we just do not complain or grumble. Now, this is about anything, okay? This is about the person you're sitting next to. This is about your husband or your wife. This is about your children. This is about the way people drive on the streets of Linlithgow. This is anything. Do not complain, grumble, or argue. Think about those things when you're in those situations so that you can remain pure and blameless. Feel the joy that comes from that obedience. Another area, as Goldie's alluded to in John chapter 1, you don't need to turn there, but John says, it has given me great joy. Oh, that must be the wrong scripture. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. Great joy comes from our children becoming disciples. There is a joy that comes from investing in our children's spirituality. Apart from becoming a Christian myself, nothing will make me happier than to see my children become disciples on their own conviction. Amen. But that conviction needs to be developed. This year, this next year is a pivotal year in the Edinburgh Church. We have 4 teenagers. By February, March, I'm not sure when Shona is 13. Oh, wow. By February. So, you know, we've really got to think hard about this, about our teen ministry. We've got to think about faithfully sacrificing finances to get our teenagers involved in the teens ministry in Birmingham and in London so that they can build up friendships with peers, with people who are working through the studies and who are becoming disciples themselves. They need the vision. There's not many people that could link between late 40s and early teens. There's a big old gap and they can't relate to us. They need peer friendships. We need faith in order to make those things happen. In conclusion, I want to finish off. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1, the passage that we see on the front of our invitation. In Lord of the Rings, Frodo faced the immense challenge of getting that ring to the mountain of Mordor and throwing it in the right fire so that the world wouldn't end in a bad way, that it would carry on, it would be good. But he got to a point in his journey where he thought, I can't cope, I can't continue with this, it's too hard. Living these faithful things, thinking about not arguing, not complaining, it's too difficult. Thinking about being obedient in those areas, thinking about not worrying about banal little things, it's just too difficult. It's just second nature for me. This is what I do. Well, Frodo was in the same sort of position. He said to Gandalf, I can't do it. And Gandalf said to him, even the smallest person can change the world. What I thought was really interesting was the conversation just before that. When Frodo revealed to Gandalf that he couldn't do it, and he said to him, he says, I know what I must do. It's just I'm too afraid to do it. I'm too afraid to do it. You see, most of us know what it is in our lives which causes us the most unhappiness, which steals the joy that God wants to give us. Sometimes we've just got to do it. Sometimes we've just got to step out in faith and make the right decision to do what's right for God. We have got to realize that our cause is too important to let our fear hold us back. In Pakistan, there was a girl's name. The girl's name is Malala. Malala Yousafzai. And she, at 11 years old, she began to see in the schools in the area that she lived, which was the Swat Valley in Pakistan, she began to see in these schools that they were being destroyed by the Taliban because the Taliban didn't believe that girls should receive an education. And so they were trying to blow up, trying to destroy all the schools to prevent the girls from getting the education. So she began, she was really incensed by this. And she began blogging. And she began blogging in an anonymous name initially and telling people about the intense persecution that they were under the Taliban in the Swat Valley and what the sort of things that they were doing, that people were getting killed and murdered and they were trying to prevent all sorts of stuff because of their beliefs. And so she started to use the BBC website, she started to use the New York Times website and began blogging so people could hear the message that she wanted to get out. You know, in time, she received the National Peace Award, which is subsequently renamed to the National Malala Peace Award, was renamed after her as the Peace Award for those that achieved great things under the years of 18 years old. Major politicians and indeed entire governments shied away from making the bold statements on her blog that she was making about the female education, for the fear of the Taliban striking against them. One young girl just said, I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm going to do something. I'm just going to do something to try and get this issue out there, get people involved. A few weeks ago, Malala was shot point blank in the head in the back of a school bus by the Taliban. This massive terrorist organization, the only way they could see with dealing with it, I'm going to shoot this one girl just to shut this up once and for all. Shot her in the head, and she was in hospital over there, and then she was moved to a hospital in Birmingham, Queen Elizabeth University Hospital in Birmingham, where she's going to make a full recovery. You know, the amazing thing is that from the moment she got shot, the issue of Muslim girls not being allowed an education became headline news. Everybody heard about it. You heard about it. I heard about it. Because she stepped out in faith and she decided she was not going to stay quiet. The issue of oppression became well known, the issue of oppression in Pakistan. Even in Pakistan, they didn't realize that there was so much oppression under the Taliban. The whole country woke up to the issue. There's parts of our country being led in the wrong way. We've got to stop this. And they got involved. She pursued her cause. Her faith, her pursuance of her cause was uppermost in her mind. Her fear of what might go wrong was way down the list. This has got to come out. This one young girl, she suffered great loss. But her cause, because of what she suffered, continues to grow stronger than ever it did. In Luke chapter 1, we read about another young girl. And as we're getting nearer to Christmas now, we're getting nearer to celebrating the birth of Jesus. And I just remind you, nobody has any idea when Jesus was born, okay? So it's great to celebrate December 25th, but nobody knows what happened on that day, okay? But anyway, Luke chapter 1, we read about a young mother. But a young mother who really had to step out in faith. We read when she entered the room, pregnant with Jesus, she entered the room with Elizabeth, pregnant with John in it, and John leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb because she was in the presence of Jesus. When you and I have realized that when we get into Jesus' presence, when that becomes our focus, we too can leap for joy. Mary was a young girl. She was chosen by God for an amazing role in history. She was to become the bearer of God's Son. And through him, all those that responded to him were to be with God forever. Sin was to be defeated in their lives. The oppression of sin was defeated because of what she stepped out in faith to do. Mary lived a life of faith and she was rewarded. And the amazing thing is what she did when she finally understood who it was she was and what it was that she could achieve if she kept close to God. In Luke chapter 1, we read her amazing song. I just want to read you the first couple of verses of that amazing song. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. One young girl who stepped out in faith. You and I have an amazing opportunity every moment of every day to live more faithfully and to receive the amazing joy that she felt when she realized what God was doing through her. You and I have the opportunity to experience this same joy. Let's take that opportunity in December. As people begin to focus on what I think are many worldly things and things that we could be trapped and think about focusing on ourselves, let's realign our focus. Let's focus faithfully. Let's focus on God. Faithful living and faithful acts. I encourage you at this time of year to experience real festive joy. Not the festive joy that the world tells you you will experience if you get drunk and if you have lots of gifts on Christmas Day, but real festive joy. Consider your act today. Consider your obedience. Pray about it. Be courageous and pursue it. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer before we take the bread and the wine.